Hey, now, good people. Episode 59 has Incense Burns. And I am your humble host, Sean P. Wright. So, I guess y'all got what y'all have been clamoring for. We're going to delve into the cookbook. We're going to have a whole episode dedicated to it. I'm not sure how long we're going to go on with this, but I'm in the simmering stages of this cookbook. I'm trying to be deliberate with it. And if you've been on this journey with me over the past couple of years, time is fleeting. I'm trying to do the math in my head, but we've been at it for a while. Sean P. Wright's SeanPWrights.com has come a long way. From poetry to the narratives to being on the cusp of a cookbook. Now, the thing that piques a lot of people's interest is this concept of food and poetry and the element of family, tapping into that genealogist hat that I wear. Now here's the tie-in. A lot of the best stories that I've gotten, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'm sure this will echo with someone else, has always been shared over a meal. In my role as a genealogist, a lot of the history of my people, stories that my big mama gifted me, were often told to me while we were in the kitchen, breaking bread. And these stories that were told, they were poetry. I do know a little something about poetry. I would like to think that I do. And the interconnectivity of those three things, food, family, and poetry, it just made sense. But the broader picture in that is that this isn't a typical cookbook. I understand that. We all understand that. Everyone has a cookbook. Now, if you're new here, or if you're foggy on the concept of the cookbook, I'm taking something called the Culinary Trinity. Pescatarian, vegan, plant-based, and a fusion of the three. Pescatarian, that's a new word. A lot of people aren't too familiar with it. Actually, it isn't too new. But just for reference, a pescatarian, think of a vegetarian that eats seafood. There you have it. Vegans are people that do not eat anything that's derived from an animal or animal products. They have varying degrees of it, but and you also have the plant-based, you know, the meat substitutes and things of that sort. A lot of people turn their nose up at those products, but these are products that are on the market nonetheless. And the one thing that, quick sidebar, the one thing that always puzzles me is how angry other people get over what somebody else eats. You have a lot of people that eat meat and grumble about there being meatless substitutes. To quote my big mama, what does that shit got to do with you? But I digress. But this cookbook is grouping these different elements. And this is taken from my background. I've been a pescatarian for growing on 30 years. So I have some skin in the game, some stripes, if you will. Now, options being extended to pescatarians and people that are vegetarian. It's commonplace now, but when I did it years ago, people scoffed at me. People, you know, laughed. It was humorous. People told me I ate rabbit food. But interestingly enough, my old man told me that I was ahead of my time. He told me to stay the path, and one day these people that were laughing at me would be buying my cookbook. And I laughed at my old man because I just thought he was talking. And here we are. So here's the concept, good people. This is brunch. This first installment will be brunch. And the concept of brunch came to me during the pandemic, because the pandemic just really did a hard reset on a lot of our, dare I say, our humanity. I developed the skill to get up without an alarm during the pandemic. I just think of a time and I just get up now. And a lot of times during the pandemic, I found myself getting up around brunch. And I began to realize, even after the pandemic, how essential brunch is, how functional, how dope brunch is. You can go different types of ways with that. And I often recalled eating brunch at my big mama's as we chewed the fat and talked history. Even growing up, just sitting at the table while grown folks talk. And the one thing, the one dish, the one thing that's so powerful about food is how it lights a spark for memories. And the salmon croquette, which will be heavily featured in this cookbook, is based on a recipe of my pawpaws, my maternal grandfather, my big mama's husband. This was inspired by him. This was his recipe, one that I recreated it from taste memory. And how do I know that I recreated it successfully from taste memory? Because I tasted it. But more importantly, his daughter, my mama, told me so. And I remember I was standing in the living room and I let my mom taste it, and her face lit up and she told me to get back in the kitchen and make some more of those. She said it tasted just like daddy's. But all that to say, food was that spark. And given that food serves that has that spark, and given that it is the conduit to stories, narratives and the things that define us, it's important that we learn to adapt, or that we have to adapt, that we take on and we incorporate the new into the old. For example, I take the concept of collards and I turn it on its head. When we think of soul food, we think of collards being one of those elemental forces, one of those key staples of it. And we often think of it being seasoned with salt pork or turkey or what have you. I have a variation in the cookbook, vegan collards that are inclined to make you holler. But they get the same elemental smokiness from these seasonings that impart it. But I do it with something I call my Three Cousins blend. It's a blend of garlic, turmeric, and ginger. Gives you the same smoky profile, the same elemental force without the cholesterol from the hog, or the smog from the kitchen. Accidental poetry is the prescription that we come across in the cookbook, incidental poetry. Like this piece that I wrote prior to this show. Actually, it was yesterday as I was chewing on a piece of sourdough. Give me a piece of sourdough and let's go. Say again that food ain't poetry. Soul bowl. Stroll for my fellow humans who don't consume meat. Allow me to come through with recipes to show you what to do. This ain't lettuce and napkins, good people. These eats get repeats. I've been doing it for 3 decades and some change, so I got stripes and impeccable diction in the kitchen. You can trust me, I'm a poet. Off-quoted and in small pockets around the globe. With more cousins than a little bit. We ain't here for a good time, but to show the world how to do something glorious. But first, we must sup. Food, family, and poetry in the bowl of blue, creamy grits with Three Cousins blend, crispy okra, roasted cauliflower, saltwater potatoes, meatless sausage, salmon croquettes, crab cake stack, sponsorships. For doing poetry in kitchens, finding cures for hunger pains without pork on forks. Because if it's all same to you, my elders told me that there was a lot of love in our family that could teach a wicked world something. If you got the gumption, come through, get a plate of something that has no meat, no pork on forks, while the eats still get repeats. That's all I got, good people. That's a section or synopsis of the cookbook. I hope it matches with the image. Or more importantly, I hope that it's piqued your interest. But that's all I got, good people, on episode 59 of Has the Incense Burns. And as I am always apt to say again that food ain't poetry. Make sure you follow me on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. And you grab a listen to the Paw and Son Adventures. Stay hungry, good people. I'll shout at y'all in a few.